Advocates are urging MPs to ban the use of spit hoods by South Australian police. The bill to permanently ban the use of spit hoods in South Australia is set to finally come before the Parliament next week, after half a decade of advocacy from the family of an Indigenous man who died in police custody while wearing a spit hood. The use of the hoods in youth detention centres were banned in South Australia in 2019. This latest bill would ban their use statewide. I spoke with Dr. Sarah Moulds, Senior Lecturer at the University of South Australia and Director of the South Australian Rights Resource Network, about the support for the bill. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples should be aware this report contains references to people who have died.
Well, spit hoods are a form of controlling a prisoner and quite an extreme form of control in placing some material over somebody's head to stop them from being able to spit on another person. So it's quite a coercive action by a police officer or security person or other person in authority applied to a person who is already being controlled in that environment, so who is already in prison or in some other custodial setting or within the control of the security officer or the police officer.
What's the case for having these spit hoods banned?
There's no real evidence that it does anything positive in terms of changing that person's behaviour or improving their chances of rehabilitation. And there's lots of evidence that it does something negative. And one of the most shocking and saddening incidents of it doing something negative is the tragic case of Wayne Fellow-Morrison, a young Aboriginal man who, in a couple of years, passed away in a custodial setting. And there is still a coronial inquiry underway into the circumstances of his death.
Many human rights experts and human rights law experts have expressed concern that spit hoods are an overextension of police powers against the rights of the individual. Is this a concern that you share?
Yes. I mean, I think that in any given custodial setting, there needs to be a proportionate balance between ensuring that everybody in that setting is safe and also ensuring that everybody in that setting is treated with dignity. And so I definitely support measures to make sure that staff in prison and those looking after inmates are treated safely and with regard to their health. And so consideration does need to be given to protecting them from possible infection from disease, for example. But just because somebody might be in a custodial setting does not mean that they relinquish all of their human rights. In fact, it's of critical importance if we want to live in a civilised society that adheres to human rights standards, that we take the rights of people in custodial settings very seriously, and we recognise that they are still human beings with dignity and that we must approach their safety and other people's safety with a proportionate response.
Your expertise focuses on connecting parliaments and citizens. What about the case for banning spit hoods and the advocacy of Wayne Fellow-Morrison's family? What can that tell us about this connection?
Yeah, so I think Wayne Fellow-Morrison's family have showed amazing resilience and leadership and have gone out of their way to bring the Australian community and Australian decision makers along with them on a extremely painful, traumatic personal journey. And they're motivated to do that because they want to tell the story of pride in their son and their family and their culture. And they want to be part of a better South Australia where First Nations peoples, Aboriginal people, young people of all cultural backgrounds have the best chance of a good life. And their reform priorities extend beyond just the spit hood issue. They are interested in trying to reform juvenile justice, reform the justice system and the overrepresentation of Aboriginal people in custody. When it comes to those aims, I think South Australia has a long way to go. In other states, there's structural features of their lawmaking system that makes it much easier for Parliament to hear these voices and makes it much easier to prevent this type of human rights abuse from happening in the first place.
Your recent book, Committees of Influence, which explores the important role of parliamentary committees in rights protections in Australia, what can be done better in this relationship between parliamentary committees and rights protections?
The Spitwood reforms are urgently needed, and I very much hope that they'll pass. I also hope that as they're debated, all members of Parliament reflect on the bigger picture of how these fit in, and that they think about the report that the Guardian of Children and Young People issued in that included 15 other recommendations to make sure that youth detention is safe for children. I hope that they reflect on whether 10 is the appropriate age to be putting children in custodial settings. And I hope that they're refining recommendations from the Royal Commission into Aboriginal deaths in custody and start to think about what changes could be made to stop this rate of incarceration and abuse in incarceration from happening again in South Australia. And in my view, the most sensible way to do that is to use a committee system that has an explicit focus on rights.
Senior lecturer at the University of South Australia and director of the Rights Resource Network South Australia, Dr. Sarah Moulds, speaking with me there.